from Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, September 16th, 2022. And we're going to jump right into today's topic of discussion. Why is staying close to God crucial? And Tad, you're a first-timer. Tad Jagesh is joining us. He's the voice of Aslan in our production, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. We've known Tad for a long time. So he has the distinction of playing God in theater troupe gatherings, but has also played Satan. So you'll understand when you hear his voice. It's a pretty good, deep, kind of bass voice. We're still trying to recruit him for the Singing Men of GNN. And then Alaric, again, continues to join us as the only member that has made every single one of our Friday editions of Mark and Friends, Alaric Shoffley, and then the Zools and the Fernalds join us, two great couples that are friends of this radio ministry. So we have a room full, and then Pastor Jason Shippo, who's going to facilitate our discussion, why is staying close to God crucial? Why? Well, have you had a child? Why?
Well, that's what we're going to discuss here today. Why do you guys think it's crucial?
I would say because God created us actually for his pleasure, and he knows what is best for us, and it would seem to me to be a terrible shame to miss out on being what you were created to be.
Anybody else?
Well, I just think looking around in the world, anybody trying to do this on their own, A, it's not going to work, and B, you're nuts.
Well, really, God is love, and we all want to be loved, and we want to stick close to God so we can experience that love.
Yeah.
We don't stay close to God, the world will pull us away. Mm-hmm. They will get us interested in some of the other things that God says, leave it. Do not go there.
I have very limited power and influence, but God has unlimited power and influence, so... Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah, agreed. Anybody else?
Well, I've just noticed in my own life after the pandemic and all the craziness that came, it kind of dragged me down. And then I realized, you know, that prayer in Psalms, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. We need to actually pray that seriously, because without God in your life and you look at the things going on around you, you will get really discouraged.
Yeah, that's great. So I want you to hold on to that, Tad, that thought, because you're actually going to lead me somewhere after I say this. There's a verse that I read this week in the Old Testament. It's actually in the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse. And it says this, "What other nation is so great as to have their God near to them, the way the Lord our God is near to us whenever we pray to him?" Now, when it says, "what other nation," what they're talking about in this particular time, you know, if you look at the Bible and interpret it correctly, it always has to start with the original audience. So when it talks about nation there, it's talking about Israel. But Israel, as we know from the 12th chapter of Genesis, is going to give birth to this movement that is going to cover the whole earth, that God's presence will become known in all of the earth. And so this message that goes out from Deuteronomy is, there is no other nation whose God is near to them, like the nation that God calls his own, the people that God... We got to kind of excise the word nation there, because we've loaded that with so much kind of political jargon and political meaning. This here, nation, for us means kingdom. You know, so what other kingdom? Well, we're part of the kingdom of God. We get to be part of the kingdom of God. And one of the things that we get to say as those who are part of the kingdom of God is there is no other nation, there is no other thing that is great as the one where God chooses to be near. And it says, whenever we pray to him. And so I love this, because God not only manifested himself and made himself known to his people, but he also gave them a way that they could talk to him. Gave them a way that they could seek him. And not only to give them a way that they could seek him, but then he says crazy things to us like, seek me with all your heart. Not some of it, but all of it. And so what I find repeatedly, I'm just going to kind of spoiler alert, What I find repeatedly in the Bible is this. It's not God who moves, it's his people who move. It's not God who turns away, it's his people who turn away. God is consistently always near to his people. But it's his people who turn and go other directions. Tad mentioned the Psalms. I think that's one of the reasons why we have the Psalms. Because the Psalms is this great journey of God's people feeling far because they've allowed their circumstances and the things that they're dealing with to make them wander away from or be robbed of understanding that God is near to them and in their presence. And then it's always God going, no, no, wait, I'm right here. I mean, I love the Psalms because David, he's always like, God, where are you? What are you doing? What happened to you? And then at the end of the Psalm, it's like, great is the name of the Lord. He was here all the time. You know, and I'm paraphrasing it. But that's what the Psalms say. And so I think that the Psalms, and isn't it interesting that when people get into difficult seasons of life that would tend to pull them away from the Lord, they always wander into the Psalms. When I come across people who are in difficult seasons of life, they tell me, I've been reading the Psalms. Mm-hmm. Well, why have you been reading the Psalms? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Seems like where I should be reading. They wander there because there, I think they're in good hands. It helps them to stay near to the Lord. What's fascinating about that to me, though, is, I already kind of spoiled it for you, but the Psalms are constantly a big, huge adventure of David doing what?
Sinning, falling short, crying out, needing help.
All of the
actually, David is trying to return back to the Lord mm-hmm. and find the Lord in his life.
Yeah. David is going back and forth. He's bobbing and weaving like we tend to do oftentimes. We get ourselves trapped up or tripped up into something and we wander this way and the Lord gently and graciously, sometimes not gently, brings us back to center and then we bob and weave the other direction. We are not good at traveling a straight line. That's why Proverbs 3, 4, and 5 says that it's the Lord who makes things crooked things straight, not us. Because we're the ones who are crooked. We go and bob and weave left and right. And it's interesting because the Psalms begin with this verse that says, blessed. Now, blessed in the Bible is the Hebrew word ashrei, which means lucky, but if there was no connotation of luck at all. So it's as if, and this is a bad example, but it's as if you went to the slot machine and pulled the arms and every time you won. Mm-hmm. And so it's lucky without the connotation of luck being involved at all. Why in the Bible does it use this kind of a word? Because you aren't lucky because of anything you did. You're lucky because God is near to you.
Jason, we're all looking at you. What's a slot machine?
Well, I think most everything is God's glory.
Yeah.
God's
exactly.
mercy.
And so the psalm begins in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Mm-hmm. So why are we lucky if there was no chance of luck involved? Because the Lord has given us a place to walk that is not in the way of the wicked. Mm-hmm. Blessed is the man who walks not in the way of wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. That is actually the pattern for how we wander, isn't it? We walk, then we stand, and then we sit. And then we get stuck.
Yeah.
And so staying near to the Lord is the opposite. Walking with Him, standing on what? His Word. And sitting with Him, meditating on who He is. And so the opposite of what Psalm 1 warns us against is what we get when we come near the Lord. And that's why it ends, it says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. On His Word He meditates day and night. So a lot of people will say to me, they'll say crazy things like this. They'll say, Jason, is it Scripture or is it prayer? And I'll say, yep. Because you can't have a one-winged plane.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One of the greatest, listen, when you don't know what you ought to pray, the Bible says who prays for you?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Yeah. But let me ask you this question. Who's the author of Scripture according to Scripture?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit was to pray for you, make intercession for you, where do you think that He would make it for you at?
Before the Lord.
Before the Lord and?
From the Scripture.
In the Scriptures.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I tell people all the time, if you don't know what to pray, then pray Scripture. Open your Bible, begin to read the Bible, and begin to pray Scripture. Now, just some practical things and how do we stay near to the Lord. And it comes from the Psalms. I wrote this a couple weeks ago when I was thinking about how do we go through difficult seasons of life, because we're doing that in our family, and how do we stay near to the Lord. My first one is that we always trust in God's protection. And that comes from the testimony of the Bible. In fact, it comes from the testimony of David's own life, right? How many times was David in danger?
All the time.
And who preserved David?
The Lord.
The Lord did, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not David. The Lord did. I love it says in Psalm 116, verses 1 through 9. I won't read all the verses, but he says this. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. How many people in here and listening have said that? As long as I have breath, I'm going to pray. And not because I need something from God, but because I know that he bends down and listens.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah, you could just pause right there and take an offering.
I was thinking, Jason, on Monday, Marianne, I think we read about 16 different verses on David crying out to God for help over and over again, you know, where God meets his needs and rescued him, or David felt troubled and needing help. And one of the neat aspects about David, he was a man after God's own heart, because I think he did communicate with him all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that what we need to do is we need to continue to be in this conversation with God. I mean, what kind of a lopsided relationship is it that the only time we tend to talk to God is either on Sunday morning for an hour or when we need something? So God's like the kind of parent who you call once a week to check in and make sure that he's doing okay in the retirement home, and then you call him if you need money. But that's not who God is. He's the God of the universe. If he is truly worthy of all of our worship, every bit of it that can get squeezed out of us, then we ought to come to him all the time and often. As we're walking through the store, have you ever walked through the store? One person told me this crazy story. They said they were in the store last week and they were looking at different shirts. They needed to buy a shirt for an event. And they said, I just looked at this one shirt and I said, Lord, do you think I'd look good in that one? Hmm. And I thought, that's such a strange, wonderful little comment that they asked the Lord to join them shopping and said, Lord, would I look good in that? Mm-hmm. And just a wonderful little moment where they said, I want God to be a part of every bit of my life, every nook and cranny. And so David says, I called on the Lord, please save me. And he says, he heard my words. The testimony of David's life was that God heard him. He could trust in God's protection. He could trust in who God was because he had instances where he prayed and he knew that God heard him. One time somebody told me something crazy too. They said this. They said, I know the Lord hears my prayers. And I said, oh, because he's answered a bunch of them? I said, no, because he said no a lot. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's a great comment, right?
It is.
That realized that those no's were not circumstances or they weren't bad luck. Those no's were actually the Lord protecting him from doing something he ought not to do.
And that he saw that the no was an answer, mm-hmm. because you could feel like God's being silent and not answering, but the no coming through was a clear answer that no.
Yeah. So how do we stay close to the Lord? We trust in him with all of our hearts, and then we depend upon him and his power and what he says. You know, Psalm 62 says, David's looking out at all the people in his life, and he says, they plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but behind my back they talk, you know, about me. And listen, we've all experienced that, right?
Amen, yes.
Yeah, we've all experienced that. And then what does David say in verse 5 of that? This is great. He says, let all that I am, every bit of who he is, let all that I am wait quietly before God. He says, these people want to take me out. They want to take me over. They want to talk bad about me. With all that I am, I'm going to sit before the Lord. You know why? Because I have to silence all those voices because I have to hear this voice. So he's depending upon God. So he trusts in God. He depends upon God, what God has to say and what God is going to do. And then he relies upon God's provision. How many of us is that difficult?
Don't everybody raise your hands.
I just wrote down wait. Wait is probably one of the hardest things to do, to wait on God.
Yeah. But how about this? Not only waiting upon God, but when God makes you do something, You submit and you do it. What's the most well-known psalm in all of the psalms? We can all probably say
119.
It right up. What's that?
119.
Oh, can you do 119? That's the longest one.
Yeah, 23.
So 23.
Which is what? Somebody, what's the 23rd psalm?
At least give me. The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
Yeah, I shall not want. And then what?
He leadeth me beside the still waters.
Yeah.
Lead me not in the green pastures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting that a lot of translations of the Bible have chosen, like, he leads me to these places. But the actual Hebrew is that he makes me.
Yeah, it forces you down.
Yeah, he actually has to make me stop and see that the grass is green. He has to make me stop and see that the water is still. He has to make me stop and see that in the midst of all that seems bad, that it's still good. There's still something redemptive happening in that moment. Mm-hmm. That's pretty hard, right?
Absolutely.
That's pretty hard. You know, because David even says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's saying, even though I walk through the worst possible moment in all of my existence, the Lord made me stop and see that it wasn't as bad as I thought because he was with me.
And if you stop and take time to be with him, it reinforces after a while that he is good. Because you come to him to begin with, you're like, you know, I kind of have a problem here and I'm not really sure what to do. But the more time you spend with him, the more you realize he's good because he shows up. He delivers. He's faithful. All those psalms, David's asking for help, and never does God go, oh, sorry, buddy, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the more time we spend with him, the more we will realize that he's always there. It reinforces our understanding of his character and his faithfulness.
So I hear you saying something really interesting, that the greatest problem that we have is not the problem that we're facing, but the fact that we've lost sight of God.
Absolutely.
That's our greatest problem. Our greatest problem isn't that which confronts us, because we know that whatever it is that confronts us or confounds us, that God is for us and he is with us. In fact, Jesus said in the last chapter of Matthew, he says, surely I will be with you until the end of the age. That's a promise. And so all of us who go like, Lord, where are you? Where are you? What happened to you? I hear that on a weekly basis from folks. Oh, it just feels like God isn't near. I'm like, well, if that's true, then the Bible's false because he said surely. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't talking about Laverne's best friend.
Amen.
He was talking that surely he would be with his people until the end of the age. And then he even goes so far as to reveal to the Apostle Paul in the 8th chapter of Romans that neither height nor width nor depth nor anything in all of creation can keep us from the love of Christ. But there is one person who can keep us from that. Us.
Yes.
Us. Yeah. What does Paul say a little bit earlier in the 8th chapter of Romans? He said, as God is for us, who can be against us? Mm-hmm. And by the way, I have to point out to people all the time, that ends with a question mark, not an exclamation point. Paul wants you to answer that question. Mm-hmm. He wants you to ask, if God is for me, then who stands against me? And Paul himself would tell you, the greatest danger I have to walking by faith and not by sight is myself. Because I want to see where I'm going. There's not many of us who would close our eyes and go throughout the course of our days trusting that the Lord will guide our steps. Instead, we go, I got this. And God's up there with the Holy Spirit going, wait, let's just see. He'll call in a minute. Just take a minute. There we go. He's calling.
Watch how this turns out.
Yeah, watch how this turns out poorly. So we rely on God's provision, even in places that it seems like, wait, why is he making me do this? It's for your good, though. And then we wait on God's plan. Boy, another one that we struggle with, right? How do we stay near to God? We trust in his plan, not in our plans. We trust in his plan. What does it say in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah? We all know this. It's on coffee cups and t-shirts. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, for some people who might read that in the vacuum, they go, yeah, he's going to give me what I hope for, and he's going to give me a blessed future filled with all kinds of... No, no, no. If we read the whole of the Bible in context, that blessed hope is Jesus Christ, and that future is eternity with him. That's the only future you have that is not going to wind up in a garage sale.
Amen.
That's the only one. Every other one he says moth and rust will come in, it will decay. That is the only future that matters. So we trust in God's plan because God's plan always leads to him and into eternity. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I think that we need to focus on God's perfection. That God is perfect. And then in that, we need to realize that the rest of it is broken. That this place that we live in is broken. That if we have an expectation for this place to be perfect, then we are putting our expectations in the wrong place. If we have our expectation that we can elect the right person to be president and they're going to save us, we're in trouble. If we have the idea that somebody's going to get elected and make laws that are going to save us, we're in trouble. Because the best of men are still men at best. They're still broken. They still have clay feet. They still have their own desires, and they still wrestle with the same kinds of things that we do. And so when God said, you want a leader, you want a king, I'll give you one. And then what did God do? He gave them a succession of leaders to show them just how poorly human leaders were. And then it led up to the arrival of the king of kings, that he was foreshadowing in Isaiah. That this king would come, that the nations would be on his shoulders. Only his shoulders were fit to carry the weight of ruling righteously. That he would be the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords. And that's Jesus Christ. He's the one who we look for. Leadership. Yeah. We look to his perfection. And then we realize everything else is broken. And it leads us back to him. And so a proper perspective of the way the world works will always keep us near to the Lord. Because we want to be near to his perfection.
And I wrote down his character, too. Mm-hmm. Knowing his character, he's always the one we can go to. Why is staying close to God crucial? Let me count the ways. Many different reasons. And I want to do a quick little shout-out for Tad here. Thank you for not doing the oil change before you got here. He worked on the radio truck the other day, but he had to work this in, Jason, between working on the car and vehicles so he could come here clean and participate. Appreciate that. The Singing Men start Christmas music on Monday. So for those of you that want to sing and declare the wonders of God, we're starting up a whole new season of rehearsals starting this Monday. So hopefully you can be a part of that. But thank you, Pastor Jason, for enlightening us on this topic. Why is staying close to God crucial? We recommend it. We hope that you'll be in church this Sunday, worshiping with other like-minded believers.
But it's his desire also. And when our desire is for him, then our desire will be to be with others.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times when people wander from the Lord, the thing they do is they also wander from good fellowship with other people who will build them up and stir them up towards good things, good works, Hebrews chapter 10 tells us.
Amen. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and some great friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.